Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to a brand new episode of The Film Stage Show, the official podcast of thefilmstage.com. I am your host, Brian J. Rowan. With me, I was going to say as always, but both of these people are not usual correspondents. Well, first we have Amanda. She's been around for a while now. Amanda, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thanks. And filling in for Danny this week, we have our esteemed Lord and Master, Jordan Raup.
Hello. Glad to be back.
Glad to have you. This week we'll be talking about Run All Night, the newest film from Wame? Anyone?
Yeah.
Those are two different things.
I would say Hame Koletsera.
Okay.
If you say it really fast, no one will know.
From Hame Koletsera, this is Run All Night, starring Liam Neeson. And he plays a former mob hitman who has to protect his son once his son runs afoul of his old employer. We would usually have some sort of lead-in discussion. We were going to talk about Liam Neeson's best movie, but then we all realized we were just going to say The Grey, so how boring would that be? No one's going to challenge me on that?
No comment.
What about that movie where he plays a ghost?
Ghost Dad?
Does anybody remember that movie with Peter O'Toole? I guess I'm the only one. I think it's called High Spirits and it takes place in a mansion.
Absolutely not. Anyway.
I'll say Schindler's List, I guess, if you had to.
Oh, but wait.
Secretly, I would go with Nonstop.
Secretly? Why is everyone so secretive about their love of Nonstop?
I know. They shouldn't be.
Nonstop, also directed by Yame Koletsera. So, yeah, we're up to a good start already. Anyway, before we get into our review, let me remind everyone to comment on iTunes, give us a rating. Also, you can stop by the film stage and post on the episode page for this show. And if you have anything to say to us, email us at podcast@thefilmstage.com. But that's it for that. Let's make like this movie and get right to the action. It's Run All Night.
It's gotta be 15 years since I've been in here. Place looks different.
All the old places look different now. I'm the only one ever cared about you. And all of that ended an hour ago when you killed my son.
I pulled the trigger. I killed Ellie. I had to. He was gonna shoot Michael. I'm here asking for my son's life, Sean. He's a good kid. He's got a family. He don't deserve this.
You know this has to end. I'm coming after your boy with everything I got. And when it's done, and it will be done, then I'll let you die.
This movie stars Liam Neeson and Ed Harris and Joel Kinnaman. And as I said previously, it involves Liam Neeson trying to protect Joel Kinnaman, who plays his son, after a stunning turn of events suddenly puts a target on his back from his old employer, Ed Harris. And, yeah, let's just jump right into it. Jordan Raup, what did you think of this movie?
Yeah, so talking about the esteemed career of Koletsera, I would say this, you know, Unknown was kind of his, like, Hitchcock attempt, kind of more of a mystery thriller where Nonstop was, like, his contained, you know, he was doing kind of a similar thing, but in a contained space. And then I feel like this is easily his most ambitious film yet. He kind of tries to capture not only an action film, but kind of get a vibe of New York here. And I would say it is his least successful film for me.
Whoa.
But I still greatly enjoyed it. I just, for me, like with Nonstop and Unknown to a certain extent, obviously Liam Neeson, you know, commands them both of those movies. But I like the supporting characters there a lot more. Like everyone on the plane, I was kind of interested in what they were doing. And here, I mean, I'm just not, I don't think I'm a Joel Kinnaman fan, really. He's a little too bland for me. And then just like some of the subplots here just didn't really work. The female lead I thought was just kind of completely wasted. And if it was just Ed Harris versus Liam Neeson, I might have enjoyed it a little more. But still saying that, I mean, I love the style of this movie. It's super slick, as you would expect from his previous features. And, he does capture New York in kind of a cool way. There's just like little touches, like there's one shot when like there, like the music heats up and it's like there's like lightning that strikes over the city and it clearly looks fake, but it's like kind of amazing. You just, it just adds to like the mood of the film, and I really like that. And there's like a big action scene in this like housing complex that I thought worked pretty well, just the scale of it. Yeah, and so I think this is a movie where it feels like his other two movies, he kind of knew what he wanted from the beginning and executed them exactly how he wanted. Whereas this one, it feels like it was a little sloppier in the editing room. Like maybe Warner Brothers took control because it was a big project. Obviously, this is all conjecture, but it just has that kind of feel where it's just not as like tightly controlled as his last few films. But I still, I mean, it's a great time. It's miles ahead of Taken 2. I never saw Taken 3, but in terms of Liam Neeson actioners, yeah, it's recommended.
All right. Well, Amanda Waltz, what do you think?
I disagree.
Wait, in which direction?
That I would not recommend this movie.
No.
I mean, and I kind of agree with Jordan on a couple points. I did think the lightning was pretty effective, but I felt like this movie was derivative even for an action movie. I just kept thinking, I actually listed down all the movies that it pretty much, I mean, there was The Raid, John Wick. I think this was his attempt at making a Michael Mann movie. Cause I mean, the final thing with Ed Harris and Liam Neeson was just so, I don't know. It was just so the heat and, or the heat, not the.
I was about to
I'm thinking of The Gray.
Yeah. Oh, that's.
But, and, style-wise, there were a lot of really flashy techniques that were used that were really distracting. And one of them was the Google Street View camera, where the camera kept jumping from place to place. And I kept thinking, and they did it, I think, primarily in the first act. And I kept thinking, oh, this is to give us some perspective on how far they have to run all night. But then it doesn't play into it at all. It's just, and you can tell that there's CGI used to create the environment that the camera jumps to, and then it turns into the real environment, and it's just very strange.
That was the strangest transition. When there's one specific one where they go to, like, I think it's the bar or someplace, and then it like stops, like there's no motion, and then the motion picks back up, and it's really sloppy.
Well, there's even the scene where it's Danny, the Ed Harris's son, and his partner, and the camera I think flips, and they obviously become animated, and then it swoops up and then goes somewhere else, and it is just the weirdest thing. I don't know, it's very, very distracting.
It kind of feels like, did you see Nonstop at all?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I feel like in all of his movies, he has like a little, like with Nonstop, with a single shot that goes around the whole plane and comes out. And I feel like he's like, guys, let's do that for all of New York City. And
New York is our plane.
And they're like, we can't do that, guys. We can't do that this time. And
yeah,
he's like,
all
right,
I'll do it. I didn't notice it Nonstop like I did here.
There's one shot. It's like, I think it's about a third of the way through the movie where there's a single shot that goes through the entire cabin, then comes out a window, then goes back in, and it's, there's no cuts at all. So I don't know. Yeah. I like appreciate those touches, but here it works a lot less. Yeah.
Yeah. It's very sloppy. And also there was not nearly enough Common in this movie. Common is so fantastic. And he's like so underwritten that I didn't know what his name was, so I kept writing him down in my notes as Inspector Gadget Hitman.
Jesus.
Because he has that night vision eye patch, and he has all these fancy guns, and when he shows up, I think the movie is trying to create this urgency of, oh, all of these hitmen in New York are coming after Mike. But they're dispensed pretty easily. And then Ed Harris is like, oh, we have to bring in the big guns. And the big guns is Common. And when Common shows up, he's a breath of fresh air. But he's he's only in it for a few scenes, and that this whole thing, the raid scene where they're in the building and they're fighting and they're throwing each other through walls, is fantastic. And he's sort of this combination of Gus Fring and Dan Stevens' character from The Guest, where he's just this unstoppable, cold, emotionless robot hitman. And he's so great, but he just doesn't... He needed to be in it more. I think he was the most wasted element in this movie. So that was my biggest thing. That was my biggest issue. And also, there was just so many... I had so many issues with this movie.
But I loved this movie.
Did you really?
I don't.
I didn't. I can understand the complaints about the Google Street View thing, but it didn't really bother me at all. Like, it's, and the parts when the people weren't moving, I just assumed that that was meant to convey that during the entire transit of the camera, that there was like putting a pause on reality. So it was like showing you concurrent action to give you a sense of time and space as to the story.
That is giving the film a lot of credit, Brian.
But sometimes they don't do that. Like, so why would they pause it that one time? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I just assumed it was concurrent action and moved on with my life.
I see. Because
obviously Liam Neeson playing a drunk, disgraced former ex is just solid gold in a film.
Yeah, I mean, his Santa reenact, you know, when he's Santa, that's,
yeah, when
that's
epic. When he has to play Santa Claus. But I mean, I liked the relationship between him and his son. I liked all of the action scenes from the shooting in the apartment that kicks off all this nonsense to the cops' car chase all the way to the final scene, which is in the trailer, but I won't talk about it here anyway.
And in the opening of the film, I didn't really love that, how they
I didn't really have a problem with it.
I don't know. It's like, it just seems like a cheap kind of thing, but who cares?
It was an odd choice, but I guess at the same time, I don't know. But I got so caught up in the movie itself that I sort of forgot that it had opened that way, or I don't know. The movie just...
I thought it was kind of clunky, the beginning. I thought it was very clunky because they had that whole 360 freeze. I don't know what you call that. It's that Matrix shot where it freezes and then
like the dynamic still frame, whatever.
Yeah, and they did that, but they didn't do that ever again. I think that's the thing about this movie, is that it does all these flashy things that really don't are just for show and aren't consistent with the style, and it's just incredibly distracting.
But again, I assumed that was Liam Neeson's perception of what he could hear going on, and that, like, so then everything was a flashback, because he was saying that when your life doesn't flash before your eyes, it's your regrets. Maybe I am just giving this movie way too much credit, because I knew that freeze frame thing would never come back.
Okay.
Because it just felt very much necessary for that scene while he is, you know, it's the opening of the movie, it's not a spoiler, while he's like shot and on the ground and he can hear this gun battle happening around him. I mean, it's all happening so fast, but to him dying, it's his perception of what it is. You know what? Yeah, I'm giving this movie way too much credit.
So do you guys like Joel Kinnaman? I don't know.
He was just kind of there.
Yeah, that's, I kind of felt like that too.
I usually don't like him. I thought he was decent in this movie, but it was so hard for me to believe that he was like a good guy.
Yeah.
Because his general demeanor and his like look just screams, I'm on like a meth binge.
Oh yeah, he looks real strung out.
Well,
like,
also,
that's what the crazy thing is, like, and this is where the marketing comes into it. In the trailer, I assumed that the reason someone was trying to kill Joel Kinnaman's character was that he happened to be like in debt to the mob or something because he was on drugs.
Yeah,
it never crossed my mind in the trailer that he could be innocent. So it was really weird for me to be like, oh, so he's a fine guy. Like, he's a good, upstanding gentleman. Okay, this is going to be difficult for me to adjust to.
Yeah. And did you like Boyd Holbrook? He was kind of and I thought he was better in A Walk Among the Tombstones, but here he just felt like he was very much overacting. I don't know.
Which one is he, Danny?
He was Danny.
The gets killed.
See, I enjoyed Danny. He was like so Danny. Weasley.
He was.
It kind of even did that weasley laugh.
I think it's just the fact that it is Walk Among the Tombstones, then Gone Girl, and now here, where it's like the same character.
Who was he in Gone Girl?
He was the guy who steals the money from her with the other girl.
Oh.
Oh wow, this guy's a modern day cinematic chameleon.
He kind of reminds me of Ben Foster a little bit, where he seems like a very, like, obviously, because I had no idea who that was him in Gone Girl, and he seems like he's very versatile, and he's probably he just needs that one juicy role.
He reminds me of Joe Anderson.
Yeah, yeah.
I kept assuming it was Joe Anderson.
It's Joe Anderson.
He played the older brother who goes to Vietnam and Across the Universe.
Oh wow! Yeah,
I remember him from the Crazies. He's in the Crazies, right, with Timothy Oliphant?
I believe so. Yes.
Yes, he is. Yeah.
I really like him. Like, anytime he's in a movie, I'm like, okay, I'll watch that, because I just keep assuming that he's going to be.
He's in The Gray too.
A big thing. He is in The Gray. That's right.
But yeah, I don't know. Wizzle Brian, would you say this is better than Nonstop then? Because I know some of my friends I talked to, they said this was kind of like the next level for Colette Sarah, and that he kind of put all of his strengths together and made this, and now it's his like epic New York movie, where I wouldn't necessarily agree.
I think I would agree with your friends and not you.
Okay.
I think I'm better friends with your friends now.
Okay.
No, I don't know. Like, first of all, I have family in New York, so I've spent a lot of time in New York, and it always pisses me off when New York is portrayed by like Vancouver in a movie. And so I liked like the
so
very,
this is in New York.
This is in New York, yes.
I mean, it has to be.
Yeah.
Because that's Times Square.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Because Times Square is basically a character in this movie. Because there were so many just filler shots.
Times Square.
There's actually a scene, and this was the thing too about this movie, that there is so much product placement in this movie that there are two things that I noticed. One, there was a poster for... or a promo for Mad Max Fury Road.
Was there?
I did not
in the background
see any of
in the Times Square scene.
Wow.
It's this huge, you know, it's like a huge poster in Times Square, not poster, but you know what I mean.
Yeah,
of Matt. So there's a promo for another movie in this movie, and then when he's at Madison Square Garden and he's standing there looking around for the men who are chasing him, and there's a Zamboni that is just plastered in Bud Light ads. That just slowly comes into the frame.
I guess
I thought it was subtle then, because I did not.
I didn't notice any of this shit. What are you talking about?
There's a Bud Light Zamboni.
Well, I mean, here's the question: is a Zamboni at a game going to be covered in Bud Light stickers?
I'm sure it is, but it's just one of those things where they.
That's just incidental then.
They could easily just not have, but he's the only person in the game's not going on. He's the only person in
so
the
you
entire.
So think that they have like, but like. They Zamboni the ice mid-game.
No, this is after.
I know this one is after the game. I'm just saying, do you think they have one Zamboni that has advertisements on it, and then they're like, the game is over, bring out the blank.
The Bud Light Zamboni?
Like a waste of money, yeah.
Bring out the blank Zamboni. They have one Zamboni, and they're not going to remove the Bud Light stickers just because no one's going
to
see them.
This is the Zamboni brought to you by Bud Light.
Yeah.
So, Brian,
yeah, it's probably. I'm surprised it's not Coors, because it's like Coors is as cold as the Rockies. I mean, if you're gonna slap a sticker on a Zamboni that's covering ice, it should be Coors.
Yeah, it's a bad marketing.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, God, that marketing team really shat the bed.
As someone who likes his other films too, do you agree though that the editing is just kind of all over the place here?
Or, yeah,
but I thought that was, again, this is me giving the movie perhaps too much credit. I thought that was on purpose. Because, like,
I don't know,
Nonstop,
there's some
the editing
shot,
was sloppy?
I didn't think the editing was that sloppy. It just felt looser to me.
Okay. I mean,
the movie itself didn't, like, Nonstop was very tightly constructed.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're in a fucking plane.
Like for me, I thought, like, anything where it was, like, in a room, so, like, the fight in the bathroom at the subway station, I thought that was well done. But then when it got bigger, like, the scene... I did like elements of the scene and the housing complex, but like it was just so ridiculously, like, maybe it was just the way it was staged, like how they got away. And I guess we should talk about spoilers, but
yeah,
it just seems so ridiculous that with a movie like Nonstop, where it's tighter controlled, that ridiculousness doesn't affect me as much, where it's a movie where here he's trying to do something and it just felt like, I guess we shouldn't spoil, but do you want to go into spoilers?
Yeah, we can do spoilers. So, right.
Spoilers!
We're gonna talk about spoilers to get through some of the smaller nits to pick. But so, Jordan, would you still say that people should see this movie?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
But it's not, it's, like I said, if you haven't seen Nonstop, watch that first. Or I guess watch this first and then work your way up to Nonstop.
Where would you put Unknown?
In the middle.
Okay.
See, I actually liked Unknown better than Nonstop.
Really?
Yeah, I enjoyed it a lot.
I have to watch Unknown again, because I watched that movie and I was like pleasantly surprised, but I think now that I'm actually like expecting greatness from this team up, I should check it out.
See, my take on it is, I think, what is the director's name again?
Yame Kolesara.
Because of his success, he has become drunk with power.
What?
So his movies have gotten... So I feel like Unknown was very... It was very carefully plotted and very carefully edited. And I think it's a very tidy movie, I guess I would say. And then Nonstop was a little crazier. And this movie is just so all over the place. And it is ambitious. I agree. I think he does a lot with it. But I think in doing so much with it, it's just this, it just becomes this grab bag of action movie cliches. And I don't know. I just think there's it's just so derivative, and I just can't take it seriously.
I would call his other movies derivative though too, and
yeah, and I agree his other movies are derivative. But like I said, I feel that this is
he's a genre filmmaker and he does it well.
Yeah, to say an action movie is derivative is kind of like, well, no duh. But I felt like this movie just has absolutely no style of its own.
I
disagree.
And supposedly he's even going to get more ambitious for Akira. He's been.
Is it going to be in space? Akira.
He's been attached to that for like 5 years. But
I thought there was some weird Irish director attached to that.
No, it was him like for the last 5 years. But I guess it's not happening. He said this week. So
this guy also made House of Wax.
Yeah, which I haven't seen, but
which apparently is supposed to be a lot of people. I remember when that movie came out, people were actually kind of impressed with it.
I mean, it had what's her face getting killed.
Was it Paris Hilton, right?
Yeah, that was the one.
Yeah, I never saw it, but his next movie,
I was really drunk.
He's supposedly doing a movie like that's like American Sniper, like it's based on another book that Chris Kyle wrote or something, like another mission that's going to be his next movie. So it'll be interesting to see if it's a good script, like what he can do. So,
all right. Well, yeah. I say definitely go out and see this. I think it's as good, if not better, than Nonstop.
I would say watch this movie for Common. I swear, if they made a prequel to this movie that was just about Common, I would watch it. I would pay money to see it. About Common's character, Inspector Gadget Hitman.
That should have been the Hitman reboot that they're making. It should have just been Common.
Common.
He's amazing. And I honestly wonder...
He reminds me a lot of... oh, hell. Why can't I think of his name? Did any of you ever see Revolver?
Yeah.
You know the hitman in Revolver?
Revolver?
Yes.
Revolver. Guy Ritchie's Revolver.
Oh, no. I don't like Guy Ritchie.
I don't like Revolver, but I ended up seeing it.
Not Terrence.
Who's...
Andre Benjamin? No.
No, bald British guy.
The one who
Strong,
isn't Jason
Mark
Statham?
Strong.
Mark Strong. Oh, yeah.
He's got the same thing with the glasses and the trench coat and the professional demeanor.
Yeah. This is definitely Common's like Jupiter Ascending in terms of Academy Award winner going to a crazy genre movie like Eddie Redmayne.
If there is a sub award show in which you can win
weirdest follow up for an Academy Award winner before they knew they were going to be an Academy Award winner.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, well, let's get into spoilers for Run All Night. First of all, I just want to give a shout out. Any movie where Ed Harris gets killed in a train yard is just fine with me.
Is that has that happened in another movie?
Yeah, it happened in Enemy at the Gates.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I got a real heavy Enemy at the Gates vibe from this.
Ed Harris, by the way, looks like death.
I think, yes. He looks.
I have never thought, oh, Liam Neeson's a very handsome man until I saw him next to. Well,
do you not have a heart?
I mean, it's one of those things where I think of him as a dad.
Wait,
because
did Ed Harris look better or worse than Nick Nolte in his surprise cameo performance?
Oh my God, I can't believe we forgot to.
I will tell you
that was a spoiler. I would say.
Yeah, you mean evil troll Nick Nolte? You mean always Nolte? Like
that scene was amazing. It's like, hey, let me ruin your relationship even further, and then I'll get out of here.
It's like Nick Nolte out.
This is the second movie I've seen with Nick Nolte in it in the last 24 hours. Would anyone like to guess the second one?
Warrior?
No, I wish. Oh. I love that movie.
I do too.
All right, good. We can be friends. No, I saw him in Zookeeper, where he is the voice of the fucking gorilla.
Well, you didn't see.
We would have never have guessed that.
Never would have guessed that. Thank you, my other podcast. My life is hell now. I will say that he gives a better performance in this than he does in Zookeeper.
Wow.
Oh, this is funny, Amanda. The guy who wrote this screenplay, Brad Inglesby, is writing the Raid remake.
Oh my God, wow. That makes so much sense.
It does make a lot of sense.
And he wrote Out of the Furnace, which is kind of similar in terms of the...
That is crazy, because as Ed Harris was walking away and getting shot, I was like, oh, this is literally just like Out of the Furnace.
Yeah, he just keeps remaking the same movie in different ways.
One of these days I'm going to figure out the most emotionally resonant scene of a guy walking away on train tracks and getting shot. I'm going to bring this whole goddamn house down.
You're just going to make a supercut?
Yeah, of Brad Inglesby movies where people get shot in train yards.
It's going to be a very short supercut.
So with the scene in the housing complex...
The scenes always take a long time.
Yeah.
These people don't die easy.
It was longer and Out of the Furnace, I feel like.
It definitely was, yes.
I didn't see Out of the Furnace. Is there also a housing complex? Like
the whole town is a housing complex.
No. That's,
hey,
no,
I live near that town.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Braddock, Pennsylvania. Shout out to Braddock, Pennsylvania.
Isn't that where they filmed The Road?
No, they filmed that. Oh, I have a funny story about that. If you guys want to hear I won't.
Podcast.
Yeah. It was filmed. Part of The Road was filmed here. Yeah, okay. Because apparently Pittsburgh looks like a desolate hellscape.
That does not surprise me.
No. Oh, you are gonna get it.
Wow.
Like, come at me, Pittsburgh. But anyway.
No, you don't want to do that.
So Jordan, you were saying
the part I was talking about in non-spoiler section that didn't you think that like the last 5 minutes of that housing complex scene was just ridiculous? How like they just snuck through this back end and then it's like cut to New York, they got free.
Well, and not it really. Also
I was fine with that.
Because how the hell did they sneak out of that? I think it was implied that there was no way to escape as blustery Vincent D'Onofrio, you know, comes like rains down on them. Like I felt like, and I think that was so lazy about this movie was that it just didn't give you any indication of how they escaped or.
Yeah, I feel like if they literally like showed you like exactly if they pretty much stayed with them, because that's what distracted me was like just all the subplots where. As if they stayed with Liam Neeson's character and as he met the other characters, it could have been such a cooler movie. Like, throw our way all of the, or just do them more interestingly, like the cutaways, the filler shots, and like have it be like almost like a nonstop movie where you're with just this one character the whole time, but roaming through New York. It would have been cool, I thought. But he wanted to do that, and then he just got too ambitious.
Yeah. And I feel like this movie could have been about 20 minutes. Shorter, at least.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But see, I loved everything with, and I almost wish there was more of, like the interaction between Liam Neeson and Ed Harris's character. You know, I could like feel their history together, and
like the scene where he's like, you know, what has to happen.
Yeah.
I don't know. I felt like Ed Harris in those scenes was just acting his ass off, and it was just not happening.
Really?
No.
Good Lord.
I just not feel... And it was... I felt like they were both very acting very well. I thought those two were great together, but there was just not that... I don't know. It just didn't gel.
That's why you come to Liam Neeson for movies like this, because he always gives it his all. He's not going to De Niro you.
Whoa.
At the same time, he ain't going to Pacino you and go too hard.
Mm.
What?
Again, Heat.
but that was like both of those guys' last decent movie.
Well, yeah.
And even in that one, Pacino was starting to lose it a bit.
Well, yeah. A bit.
I mean, seriously now. She's got a great big ass!
Yeah.
And you got your head all the way up it! Yeah, I mean, the guy was getting unhinged. But Liam Neeson, on the other hand, like, so much sadness and regret and confidence. And I love him. I love watching this guy do his thing. He's great. He's the best. And I thought all of his scenes with Ed Harris, you could feel they're just bound by what they feel like they have to do. And they hate the fact that it has to come to that, but they're going to do it anyway.
Like, I mean, I know it has to happen, but like I just hate scenes where they're like, all right, let's do this. And you're like, you know, everyone is just going to die.
I love scenes like that. But it speaks to something primal in me. I love a scene where
it's just like, guys, can we just forgive each other? Come on. I guess there would be no movie.
Son.
I know, but no, it's like, yeah, go ahead.
You have to go up in the bar and shoot everyone to a Pogue song. That's what has to happen. That is in plan.
Look, you want to see a vision of my future and how I'm going to go out? That moment.
During I think there will be way less guns in your demise, Brian.
I mean, I hope not.
Oh, God.
What?
You should definitely edit this part out of the podcast, Brian.
Just going to walk into a random bar. I'm going to become friends with the mob.
Oh, I see. All right. So it'll be legal.
Literally like this. It's going to be to save my son. Like, wow. This movie is basically just my future.
Wow. I did like his relationship, Brian, with Vincent D'Onofrio. The diner scene I thought was pretty well done.
Yeah, the diner scene was great.
Ooh, Amanda's like, no.
Man, I hated this movie.
What is wrong with you?
I just hate... I have never seen so many sad old men in one movie.
This is why you wanted Common more, because it's like, there's that young, virile, happy guy.
Oh, I don't know about happy...
Until
he was
happy
to kill.
Goddamn face burned off.
Oh, that was great.
This needed a Common sex scene. But this movie was too just sad old men.
Well, it was sad old men and just wheezing while chasing each other and shooting each other. And Vincent D'Onofrio.
That's the point. Like, but these are people of another era. Like, there's that whole story about how he gave
each
like,
other
a loan
down
to a butcher shop, and the butcher shop's now like an Applebee's. And like, you know, looking at the neighborhood and just everything's changed. There's not a room for these guys anymore.
I guess. I mean, that gives it kind of almost like a casino vibe, but I don't know. I didn't feel because, and I think there was this attempt at making Liam Neeson's character, Jimmy, this awful, awful human who's just this ridiculous racist and he's horrible to women. And there was that scene at the end where he finally meets his son's wife, and I think she's just called Gabby throughout the entire movie, and then she introduces herself to Jimmy and she's like, my name is Gabriella. And I think it's supposed to be this profound moment where, oh, he's meeting his son's wife who's, I'm gonna, you know,
Hispanic?
And it's supposed to be like, oh, she's Hispanic, and you know, and he respects her, and
but
it's
I don't
so
think
profound.
He's
and like,
not like he's not like Clint Eastwood in Gran Torino. He's just an asshole to people because he doesn't want anyone close to him.
But he keeps saying, but he keeps making all these racist.
Do you know a faster asides. Way to drive people away from you? He's never saying it under his breath. He's saying it to make people do things.
I don't know about that.
No, this is a man who is inherently good, who was dumber than his other friend, and his Ed Harris. And Ed Harris is like, buddy, we're going to make a shit ton of money, but you got to be the muscle because you're an idiot. And so he does what he's told. because he's got loyalty to his friend, and then he drinks himself into a hole, and he becomes an embittered person who just wants people to hate him because he hates himself so much.
Man, you are giving him so much credit. Also,
this is what was in the movie.
You could tell his character actually deeply loved the chimichangas at the diner.
He said it ruefully because he wanted a chimichanga.
Exactly. I think the two best shots in this movie are when they're at Joel Kinnaman's house and you think Joel Kinnaman just got shot in the face, and then Liam Neeson comes back in.
Yeah.
And then there's a few things like that where Colette Sarah's like, oh no. And then the other one is like when they're in the house and the guy pulls the bathroom curtain open.
Oh, with Gabby's brother. Who actually has the only funny line in the entire movie.
We're on a budget. I loved that guy. Like,
I did too.
He is like really on point in this movie. And like when he hides the crayons,
yeah,
I was like,
say,
this guy's a fucking master. I love him.
I
love it when tertiary characters are just competent. That's such a low bar to set for Hollywood.
Yeah. The guy who shot this movie is the guy who shot Control and The American, who are like two of, like, I don't know, have you guys seen either of those films?
Yeah.
Like two of the best shot movies I've ever seen. And it could have been so much better. That's the thing. If they just took their time and slowed down a bit. I know they have to run all night.
They had to run all night. This movie was literally shot in one night. Did you not know that?
Oh, okay.
I feel like they didn't do as much running as they did driving and getting on the subway.
On the run all night. But you can't have a movie called On the Run All Night.
I know, Brian.
God.
Riding the subway all night. That was the original title. I did love that no one on the subway was like, oh, these guys
it's New York.
It's New York, man.
Yeah. I guess I've seen that. I've seen that, so it's fine.
I was also happy to see Holt McCallany in this movie. Love that guy. He's the guy who gets killed in the bathroom.
Oh, the guy who I call shit Michael Shannon because...
wasn't he in Black Hat? I don't know.
He was in Black Hat.
Yeah, he was good about it.
He was great in Black Hat.
See, Black Hat. I do wish Michael Mann directed this movie. I hear
so much about Black Hat, and
it's really good.
I enjoyed that a lot of it.
I mean, just don't pay attention to the script, but like this movie, kind of. Yeah.
Just let it soak in as a sensory experience. Exactly. Any final thoughts on this movie? Spoiler alert: Joel Kinnaman survives, and he ends up loving his dad as he dies.
Yeah, and then the final shot where his dad's photo is on his
mirror.
Oh, come
on, that choked me up.
Oh, Ryan, you were in for this movie.
I was in for this movie. This movie had me.
Oh, I did love the True Detective-esque closing credits sequences.
Yeah, that was nice. Yeah. We need more of that in our lives.
Yeah.
You know it's bad. You know a movie's bad when you're like, the closing credit sequence was nice.
Closing credit sequence in movies are nice.
The thing I hate is when it just comes up with unit production manager as the first thing, and then you're like, oh, okay.
Unit production manager.
I like when they try a little harder, you know.
So any final thoughts on this?
Run all night to your local theater to see it. No. I would say mildly walk slowly.
Crawl.
Yeah.
Walk, don't run to this.
Yeah. Walk all night. Yeah.
I would say do not get out of bed for this movie.
I did to talk about it with you freaking people.
I hope it was as fulfilling experience as you had.
I loved talking about this movie almost as much as I loved watching it.
That's good.
I went and saw a 7:20 screening of this movie. I walked out of it, and I looked at my watch, and I was like, 9:30? How is it 9:30 already? Because the movie was so fast and so good that it seemed as though it happened instantaneously.
How was your theater reaction? Did people like it?
Oh, people loved it. Though I went to I like to call it the shitty theater. It's the theater closest to my house. And it is not in a great neighborhood. So I had that thing where like people were like talking to the screen.
Oh, that's awesome for a Liam Neeson movie. That's everything I want.
Yeah. It was like it was like that Key and Peele sketch come to life.
That's great. And I saw it with a bunch of critics, so it was kind of like a little subdued. But
it was hilarious stuff where it was just like, oh, you know he ain't going to take that line down.
Oh, I needed that.
Oh, he shouldn't get out of the car.
Oh, man, I wish that happened.
This is bad. This is bad, guys. And then, like, he'll shoot someone and then just be like, oh, shit! And then just start clapping. I was like, God, I fucking love these people.
I will say that the only reaction I remember was people clapped when Common was shot.
Yeah.
And I...
Oh, yeah.
Did not appreciate it.
You were
like, no!
I wanted Common to kill everyone.
That's the name of your movie. Just Common kills everyone. Coming this summer.
Alternate ending where he just brutally murders the girls you would love.
The girls will be okay. Okay, here's my sequel. The girls survive. They grow up. They become hitmen. Hitmen. And then they go after Common.
Do they kill him at the end, or do you have Common winning?
No, they... I'll let them have that movie. I'll let them have it, because I feel like two women get like
equal
two women
one common
hit people.
That's pretty sexist.
No, which I think this movie, I will say, the women in this movie might as well have been cardboard cutouts.
I know, it's sad too. Genesis Rodriguez, she was in Tusk, right? And she was the only decent thing about that movie, and then here. She was the least interesting part of it. So it was,
yeah, they gave her nothing to do. And even there's that scene where Ed Harris finds out that his son is dead. And in the background, his wife is blurred out. And it seems as though she's just poking at her face in the mirror. Like, she said, what should I do in this scene? I'm in the scene. I don't know. Just do what women do before you get ready. While you're getting ready for bed. Poke at your face. Poke at your hair.
And then the slow pan out to the pictures on the wall. As he's
oh,
died.
Yeah. That was okay.
A sense of history.
Yeah. Oh well, yeah, I agree. Though it's yeah. I was kind of shocked. Like, they could have at least maybe made Vincent D'Onofrio's character a woman.
Mm-hmm. Can we find a woman as sexy as Vincent D'Onofrio?
No, I don't think
impossible.
So.
Impossible. Impossible. How could you even ask that question?
Man did not age well. I wasn't crazy about this movie. As
yeah,
you
people
may
did
gather.
Clap when Common was killed.
Oh, boo. Yeah.
There was one woman who was... We have a lot of populations here, so I'm going to say she was possibly Ethiopian. And she was having a dialogue with herself about her feelings about what was going on in the movie. And it was incredible.
Wow.
It was absolutely incredible.
Someone in my theater did not like violence at all. So like when...
Oh, God.
Yeah, when I thought it was kind of what was the shot? Oh, when Boyd Holbrook's like buddy gets stabbed by Ed Harris, like insanely violently, like 8 times.
Ugh.
She like freaked out next to me. Yeah,
that always amuses me when I go to preview screenings and there is a much older couple who obviously has no idea what the movie's about, but are just going to see it for free. Like that happened when I went to see The Lazarus Effect a couple weeks ago, and the husband showed her the trailer on his phone. And she's like, oh, I don't know about this. Why did you come?
Oh, my God.
It's just funny.
All right. Well, that's Run All Night. It's out in theaters now. Go see it or don't, depending on which one of us you agree with the most.
Yeah.
Let's quickly run through what's coming out to DVD and Blu-ray and in theaters and give a brief... mention a song that we watched on our own that we think you should check out, and then we can get out of your hair. So, coming up March the 17th, we have 101 Dalmatians 2. Okay.
Why? Just skip over it.
I was about to say, it was the first one I saw, and I don't even know why I read it. We also have X.
The most boring film.
Gods and Kings. 20...
Wait, is that the one with Gerard Depardieu?
What?
Exodus?
101 Dalmatians 2.
Oh, I don't think so.
No. This is the anime. It's like an animated spinoff.
Oh, because
we're already talking about it for far too long, guys. This is not an Air Bud podcast.
Please tell me there's another Bud movie coming out.
Once a week, all year.
Wrestle right? Madness 2. Bark in the Ring. No.
No, stop. Did you guys see Exodus? I just watched it this week. It is dreadfully boring. I was kind of looking forward to it, yeah.
It did not look good.
Yeah, that movie was not going to do well.
Yeah.
No. We also have the Penguins movie, Penguins of Madagascar. I'm sure my nephew's excited about that.
Aww.
Song of the Sea.
Yeah. It's actually playing here right now. I might go see it.
Academy Award nominated.
Yeah.
Did you guys see Secret of Kells?
No.
It's a beautiful movie. It's definitely not a, you know, like a Pixar, action-packed Pixar movie, but it's very, very beautifully animated.
That sounds good, then.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm guessing Song of the Sea is just as beautifully animated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We also have The Humbling.
Oh, yeah, the Al Pacino, Greta Gerwig movie.
What?
Yeah. No one saw this. They were trying to do like an Oscar campaign for Al Pacino, and it clearly didn't happen.
That sounds like the weirdest matchup ever.
Yeah. We gave it like a C-.
The story of a legendary stage actor who has an affair with a lesbian woman half his age at a secluded country house in Connecticut.
It's Philip Roth, right? Roth adaptation? Yeah, yeah. I haven't seen it. I have a screener sitting right here, or the Blu-ray. I'm going to give it away.
That would be funny if it wasn't even meant to be given away. You're just like, I just hate this so much.
Oh, it wasn't. No, they just sent it to me to review, and then I'm like, I'm never going to spend time to watch this. Sorry.
There's also something called Son of a Gun that stars Ewan McGregor.
Yeah, I heard it's very boring. We should mention though, Lady from Shanghai, Orson Welles Blu-ray, and I haven't seen it, but Ride the Pink Horse comes out on Criterion. Robert Montgomery movie, and
The Wild One is coming to Blu-ray.
And then one of the best movies of all time, which
My Girl?
No, Aguirre, The Wrath of God. But I think it's just part of, there was a huge Herzog collection that came out last summer, so I think they're just releasing them individually now.
I see. Oh, also Annie, the new Annie's coming out.
Yeah, I didn't see that. Yeah, I didn't see it either. And this week I watched Top 5, which also comes out, which I was kind of disappointed by it. It's
really?
Did you see it?
No, I was just, yeah. I heard so many good things about it.
Yeah, there's a great like stand-up routine in it, and if it was that for the whole movie, if it was just a stand-up routine, it would be great. I don't know, it just feels like he's trying to touch on so many things that there's just, it's not very focused, I don't know. But it's mildly funny, I would half recommend it.
It's kind of sad, because that will probably be Tracy Morgan's last movie, unless he made one that's been like shelved for a while.
He was a voice in Box Trolls.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Anyway. let's see what else we got here. Coming to theaters March 20th, we have Insurgent, the sequel to Divergent.
Someone said, I think it was Ethan Vespi, he said, this looks like... You guys haven't seen Clouds of Sils Maria yet, right?
No.
There's like a fake sci-fi movie within that movie that's like the worst thing ever, and Insurgent looks like it's that movie.
Looks terrible. There's a lot of people breaking through glass and falling. I will say it's odd for a YA adaptation to like prominently feature two characters with guns. And they're both pointing in different directions. One of them appears to be falling head first, which is just bad. Anyway, enough about the poster. I remember seeing the teaser trailer for this and thinking that it looked exactly like something, but I can't even remember what that was now. That's how forgettable it was.
Yeah.
We also have The Gunman, which I saw a trailer for before Run All Night.
Yeah, I'm seeing that. I'm reviewing that, so you can look for my review.
Does this look good? I can't even tell.
It has 0%, which is not promising.
Okay, good.
On Rotten Tomatoes.
Does that mean it hasn't... I'm guessing that means it has no reviews.
No, it does. It has like 6 or 7, I think. No, they don't put a 0% if it doesn't have reviews.
Well, okay. When is it coming out?
This Friday.
Oh, this Friday, okay.
Yeah, so they should have some. Anyway.
Yeah, they should.
There's a drama called Do You Believe that looks like it's a Christian film, which, I don't know. I hate those things.
Can I give a shout out? There's 4 of the best movies of the year coming out in limited release.
Surely.
Mm.
All right. So, first up, my favorite... Hoo-Ha, it's J-A-U-J-A,
okay.
Starring Viggo Mortensen.
Yeah.
I saw this a few weeks ago, and it's stuck with me incredibly. It's really a beautiful movie. I would say it's as if Tarkovsky directed an existential Western.
Damn.
Yeah, it's really, the ending is awesome, too. It gives you a lot to think about, and Viggo Mortensen is great. I interviewed him this week, and so look for that this week on the film stage. I could have talked with him for like hours. He's a smart dude. And so that's good. And then Kumiko the Treasure Hunter comes out on March 18th in limited release. And that's really well done, really well directed. Have you guys seen the trailers for this?
I have not.
I'm really looking forward to it.
yeah, Riko Kikuchi. It's like the it's based on kind of a true story. People don't know all the details, but it's a woman in I believe Japan who is completely obsessed with the Coen brothers Fargo, and she has a VHS tape that she like wears out and has this whole diary and plan to come to America and try to find the treasure because she thinks it's real.
It does say it's based on a true story.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But Lord. I won't spoil it. But the what happens when she comes to America is a little less. Like, there's not a lot of reports about it, so people don't know exactly what happened. So, but the way they handle it here is really, really interesting. And yeah, and it's super well directed. Like the Zellner brothers, who have just done some small movies. They both wrote it, then one of them directed it. So
I love Rinko Kikuchi. So
yeah, she's great in it. And then another movie, which Brian, I think you would like this movie, Spring. Have you seen the trailers for that?
I have not. Ooh. No.
It's like, I've seen the trailers for it. It looks really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you wrote up the trailer for it on the film stage, actually, if I remember.
Oh, me?
Yeah, maybe you did.
I feel like I would if I had seen it, but it's a horror movie kind of, yeah, I guess, like a dark fantasy.
Yeah, it's like this guy is like in Europe, I think. He goes to Europe, mm-hmm. like a adventure, and then he meets a woman, and I'll just say it turns into like a horror movie. But I've heard it's really interesting. So
there's a lot of interesting, really interesting horror movies coming out. There was another one that I read about I can't remember what it's called, but it's about the ghost of a man's dead girlfriend haunting him and his current girlfriend. And
what's the girlfriend's past?
What's that?
I said ghost of girlfriend's past.
No, it's
God damn it.
Oh God, I no. I can't remember what it's called, but it's another one that looks a little more experimental and dark and
nice.
Yeah, I like more a little more like I almost want to say body horror ish, but
interesting.
But yeah,
and then the last one was Amor Fu, which currently has 100% on Rotten Tomatoes, and it was our favorite movie of Cannes according to Peter Labuza. I haven't seen it personally, but it comes out very, very small release, but I don't even really know what it's about, but just give me a shout out.
All right.
And then, David O. Russell's, this is the opposite of good, but David O. Russell's abandoned movie Accidental Love comes to theaters, which I've seen, and it's, I might have enjoyed it more than American Hustle, so.
Well, how about that?
I mean, it's not great, but it has kind of this, like, wacky.
But compared
energy.
To American Hustle.
Yeah.
Did you guys really not like American Hustle?
I did not like American Hustle.
Ugh, neither did I.
Good. Yeah. We're back on the same page now.
Sorry, that was a lot.
Things you said about Run All Night.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's talk very, 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 very quickly about things that we've seen on our own and tell people why they should see them, and then we can get out of here. So, Amanda, let's start off with you.
I watched Listen Up, Philip last night.
Oh, fuck.
So good.
Seriously?
I liked it.
God damn it.
But you know, I liked it. I thought it was, it's a little Noah Baumbach-y, and it's basically just another skewering of New York intellectuals. But I actually enjoyed it, and I'm a big Jason Schwartzman fan. So, and Kristen Ritter is just absolutely stunning in this movie. I think I tweeted about it last night, how gorgeous she is. And
I liked it. Scenes that she has that have no impact on anything.
Hey, man, as long as it's closing in on her beautiful, beautiful face, I'm fine with it. So, yeah, I liked it. It's definitely just tearing apart the whole idea of the literary male figure and how they like to create their own myth, and I really enjoyed that because my fiance is a creative writing teacher, and like he knows exactly what it is doing. So I thought it was really funny.
Okay, Jordan, let's quickly move away from what I just heard.
Yeah, Amanda, you go. All right.
In case you don't know, I have a huge problem with Alex Ross Perry.
Huge.
His massive.
Nemesis. Yeah.
He's my nemesis, basically.
Yeah.
Hate that guy. Well, as a person, I don't know, but I've hated both the movies I've had to watch of his.
Was the other one Color Wheel?
Yeah.
We got another one coming this year, Brian. I'm so excited.
Yeah. I'm now Googling images of Kristen Ritter, by the way.
My aunt taught her in third grade. So there you go.
No way!
Kristen Ritter, yeah. And she grew up in central Pennsylvania. My aunt was her teacher.
Oh,
she inspired her to act. No, I'm just kidding. Anyways, so I watched Jan Demange's 71.
Oh, I can't wait to see that.
Yeah,
it's finally come to DC.
Yeah, it's quite entertaining. I would say this is Jack O'Connell's best movie, even though he probably got the most exposure for Unbroken. Mm. But yeah, this is a movie. It takes place in 1971 in Belfast during the IRA crisis, and it's definitely an entirely different movie than what I expected. The first act kind of just sets up the crisis and how like just violent the conflict is. And then it turns into like almost like a Die Hard or High Noon, where he gets abandoned by his unit and just has to like go through this really treacherous area and kind of by himself. And there's some like just really, I think I've been so used to films like action films that just willy nilly like have explosions or violence. And this movie has some really just shocking effective moments. I would say the last act kind of gets overboard, like the action sequences gets a little silly, but Jack O'Connell is great in it, and it pretty much like coming away from this, you can see why this director has now like I think he's attached to like a huge a few big studio movies, like one with Annapurna, I think, and you can kind of see why, because he's kind of a pretty great director just from this film. So yeah, so it's in limited release now, and I would recommend it.
All right. I watched The Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou. Criterion had a really huge sale this week, and I bought like 5 movies.
Mm.
And I decided to watch one of them when it arrived, and it was The Life Aquatic. I love that movie. Directed by Wes Anderson, starring Bill Murray. And yeah, I don't know. I feel like everyone should know about this film, so I don't have a lot to say. The animation is great in it. Performances are wonderful. It's a decimating story of fathers and sons and finding the will to live again. Anyway, that's about that. So check it out. It's beautiful. It's probably still my favorite Wes Anderson film, which I know is a controversial statement.
That is, wow.
Sorry, I got to be true to myself. But that's it for today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us. Let's tell the fine people at home where we can be found. Jordan Raup.
You can find me writing on the film stage every day and at JP Raup on Twitter.
Amanda Waltz.
I am at Media Waltz on Twitter, and I also run a blog about Pittsburgh film culture, which apparently Brian hates.
I don't hate Pittsburgh film culture.
Just films
I just
that were
have
made
never
there.
Heard anything good about Pittsburgh.
Well, it's pretty great.
Well,
but yeah,
I will come up one day and get drunk there and maybe mind.
I mean, live
film stage show.
That's how I experience cities, is getting drunk there. It's like, how great is the experience of getting drunk in this city? New York, wonderful. Charleston,
Pittsburgh
perfect.
Is a good drunk city.
So wouldn't it be the place where it's the cheapest alcohol then?
It's pretty cheap. Know. It is. Yeah. It's very cheap. Yeah. You can get, well, depending on where you go, you can probably get beers for like 50 cents here.
Damn.
Holy crap. Yeah.
God but bless yeah. Pittsburgh.
But anyway, I cover film Pittsburgh film culture on my blog Steel Cinema, which is on WordPress. So yeah,
just
Brian,
lowering
Brian,
people's
you should,
expectations.
You should write for that, Brian.
I should totally write for that. As an avid fan of Pittsburgh, now
you could be like the Slate writer of her blog, where it's just all these like incendiary
just writing a bunch of shit to piss people off.
Well, because I don't know if you remember
Slate Pitch.
Sienna Miller came here to film a movie, and I guess she called it Shitsburg, and man.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Damn.
Did not go well.
Ouch. Nothing. I'll just say nothing could be worse
she came back.
Philadelphia. So.
Oh, God. Well, we have a secret. I'm not going to go into it.
Okay.
All right.
There's
next podcast.
Tune in next week to find out the secret of Pittsburgh. anyway. I can be found on thefilmstage.com as well as my personal site, dearfilm.net, and the other podcast I do with my friend Dan Gavazdin, which is called Movie Dare. You can find that at movie-dare.com. And I'm on Twitter, twitter.com/BrianJRowan. Ladies and gentlemen, what?
And wait, and tell them what to watch next week that you're going to review. Maybe.
I was just about to say that.
Oh, I thought you were just going to sign off. All right.
No,
good
ladies
job,
and gentlemen, join us next week when we'll be talking about It Follows.
Ooh.
See what I was going to do, Jordan?
You're excited about this one, Jordan.
Interrupted me.
Yeah.
Jordan has not stopped talking about this film for like a solid month and a half. I'm so excited to watch it. So you all should come back to hear about it. I have diligently avoided spoilers. I don't even know what the basic premise is.
Oh, mm-hmm. Nice.
So it's all because of you, Jordan.
Yay. I hope I don't... It's not questionably disappointing.
Yeah, if it disappoints me, I'm coming for you.
Okay. Oh, that is part of the plot. All
disturbing.
Right.
Okay, so I don't know what that means.
You'll see when you see the movie.
Oh, I can't wait.
I can't wait either. So join us next week as we watch and discuss It Follows. As good, if not better, than Nonstop. Oh, my dog just jumped on my bed.
Aww.
Well, she just got in from a walk and it's raining outside.
Oh, yeah, it's pouring here, too.